first, I would like to give a testimony, give a report, but also just share with you how God's been working in our lives through His Word. I don't think I could separate that. I guess I could give the testimony first, and then I could, you know, preach the Bible lesson or teach the Bible lesson second. But really, they're so intertwined of how God has used His Word to lead and guide and direct us, and then and then what has come about from that. So we will just look at Exodus chapter number 33. We'll read one verse. Actually, we're going to go from Exodus chapter 2 all the way to Exodus chapter 33. So we will look at many different principles here. But Exodus chapter 33, and then in verse number 13, we'll read that and then we will pray. It says in verse number 13, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we so thank you for this time. We thank you for every time you give us to sit under your word, to learn and grow. Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We just pray, Lord, today that our hearts would be ready. Lord, please guide every word that I say, that I would be very efficient in the pulpit, that I wouldn't say those things which are not necessary. Lord, that at the end of this, all praise and honor and glory would be clearly given to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to give this message a title, it would be "From a Different Perspective." And it's interesting. My wife got to Fairbanks, and it was raining. I think it was last week, wasn't it, Kristen, last week? And when in Fairbanks in January, it's raining. We get up there, it's not raining anymore. 100% ice-covered roads. And I was thinking as I'm driving up there, I grew up in a cold climate. My wife grew up in a cold climate. A lot of people that we serve with in Korea, they're not from cold climates, other missionaries. And it never fails that we get into some conversation about cold weather. And we're telling them about cold weather and how it's just incredible. I mean, I think we have survived the coldest weather in our childhood south of Antarctica. Or, you know, we come up with these great, man, when I was a kid, the snow was this deep. And since I'm about 6'5", that's probably about 5'10" deep of snow. Now, when I jumped off the roof, probably 10-story, okay, and I jumped in, and I couldn't hardly get out. And as a kid, I'm swimming through snow. And we're telling these people from the not cold climate, they're going, "Wow, we get 1 inch of snow, and it shuts down the county, and the schools shut down." And we're like, "Oh, let me tell you about 40 below. When I was a kid, it was probably 40, 50, or 60 below all winter long." The kids today just don't understand how good they got it. That's how all illustrations end. The kids today just don't know understand how they got it. Okay? But, you know, if you look at that, there's a lot of perspective there. Because if I'm telling you now, I'm 6 foot tall, the snow was this deep. Okay, you're getting a misperception. You're perceiving it wrong because I said when I was a kid, the snow was this deep. So we're communicating here, and in your mind you might be thinking, "Wow, man, that snow was deep. Well, when I was a kid, I was about this tall. So if the snow was to my chin, it's honestly the snow is about that deep." Well, you know, I mean, realistically, we have had opportunities to be involved in snowfalls that deep throughout all the winters, for the most part. Things haven't really changed, but perspective has changed a little bit. In this portion of Scripture, in Exodus chapter 13, there's a tremendous thought here that God gave to me through the life of Moses. I'd like to share that with you. It says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight." Has Moses ever found grace in God's sight up to this point? This is chapter 33. All throughout the book of Exodus, we're seeing God impart to Moses definitely in many different environments We see him giving grace and showing Moses grace. But he's asking once again. He said, if I found grace in thy sight, and this is what he asked him, show me now thy way. But it doesn't stop there. There's a reason for this, that I may know thee. There's something about knowing God's way, and there's something about knowing him that you cannot separate. But I'll tell you, a lot of times, we get a little bit mixed up because we look at things through the wrong glasses. Honestly, if I take my glasses off, there's some serious problems. Brother Lowe and I were just talking about that. He's had some eye issues, putting glasses on, taking them off. Everything's different. But from God's perspective, things are very, very clear. Now, what I would like to do is to go through all of the chapters of the book of Exodus in about 60 seconds or so. And I'm doing this because I believe wholeheartedly that we completely understand and remember. As soon as I say these, I think you'll remember all of these different acts that Moses was involved in. So I'm going to go through here. I'm going to try and find page number 7. I'm cutting things down a little bit. If you go through. Well, just let me go ahead and just remind you of a couple things I think would be best. We start off in Exodus chapter 2, and you don't have to turn there, but this is the birth of Moses. Right from this guy's start. It's amazing and wonderful. And you know that as he got older, his mother took care of him. I could not imagine that his mother and his father and everybody around wouldn't be telling young Moses as he grew up, hey, I want to tell you what God did. At the time you were born, they were throwing children into the river. It was a decree that all children of this age and below were supposed to be killed. But this is how God preserved you. From day one, I'm sure Moses, as he was getting educated and taught, and again, we know the story, as he was going up and up and up, I'm sure that his parents and the people around, they were looking at this and saying, Moses, God has preserved you for something great. I think, you know, if we really look at our life, the day we get saved, I think we can look into Scripture and know that God has got something amazing for us. But that's not where it ends. That is actually where it begins. Going through the Scriptures, we can see that there was a time when he was cast out into the wilderness. And it was a great learning time for him. Also a time when he saw a bush burning. He saw a manifestation of God. Take off thy shoes, for thou art on holy ground. And he looks at this, and this is tremendous. Nowhere else do we see that anybody saw a burning bush that spoke. And it's just, how can Moses understand this? And he even questioned himself. He questioned God. But then there is a time of the plagues where he saw an incredible amount of God's grace. He saw God's grace. He saw God's judgment. He saw God move people. And again, we could just go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. There was a staff that became a stake. A tree branch was in, and it cleansed polluted water. There are pillars of fire that led the crowd by night. And there were the pillar of fire that led by, or the pillar of fire that led by night, and the cloud that led by day. There's just all kinds of activity, and there's all kinds of visible manifestations of God working in Moses' life. It is exciting to go through. We have stories of manna, the heavenly bread falling in the morning, and we could go through every chapter. We could see the wonderful and great things. Now, in the ministry, it can become just like a job. Okay? You can actually become very good at it. You get up in the morning, you do this, you go over here, you do this, and it can become incredibly mechanical. And a little bit of that is because we look back and we see how many times God has done this before. And we look at it and we compartmentalize it and we say, well, we're going to go ahead, it happened this way, and of course it's just going to happen this way again. We look into Exodus chapter number 33, and we see a situation to where Moses gets to a point. He gets to a point where it seems as though he's saying, you know, it's everything's going okay, but there's got to be something more. Now, I remember talking with a pastor one time, and he said there's a danger in always wanting more. He said you're always out grabbing and moving, and he said you'll never get it if you're out grabbing and grabbing. But I think we've heard the Sunday message, actually the Wednesday message as well, even Brother Mitch's Sunday school this morning. Just excellent Bible teaching on just maybe seeing things from just a little bit different perspective. If we'll go back into verse number 11, and just we'll start there for a second. In verse number 11, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Now, this is something that we kind of have to look at, because later in the chapter, we'll find out that it says that you can never see God face to face, otherwise you're going to die. We looked at that in Revelation. What are we looking at here? Again, there's a little bit of perspective here. There's a difference. There isn't a contradiction, but there might be a little bit of contrast here. There's a little bit of contrast in the fact that here in verse number 11, Moses is being spoken to by God. We'll read down in verse number 17, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in thy sight, and I know thee by name." In verse number 18, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." In the ministry, again, we can get to the point to where it just becomes habit. It just becomes the same thing that we do every day. And really, if we just kind of take a general look at it, nothing is wrong. But if we search our heart, and we heard that this morning, if we examine ourselves, it may just be that we are speaking to God. I mean, we can speak to God, we can talk to Him, He can talk to us, we can pray, and then He can lead us through His Word. But there is a difference between having a general, casual relationship with God and getting to the point to where you say, "Show me thy glory." Again, in the ministry, and just by way of a little bit of testimony, we went to Korea. We had the opportunity to take a ministry, and man, it was great. It was the love of my heart, so to speak. We got in. We went from 40 people to about 80 people in a few months. Next thing you know, we're over 100. We just can't fit everybody in the building. We're looking at buying a building. We're looking at renting. We're looking at a bigger facility. And it was 80 to 100 hour work weeks. And honestly, I was just in my element. I said, "This is so great. Lord, I will be here forever." Wow. That is a hard statement to tell God. "I love this. This is great. This is wonderful. I will be here forever." Through a physical difficulty, I have head and neck and nerve problems and all that. It got to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. And Lord helped me to look from a little different perspective. And I want to say, I want to make this point very, very clear. There's difficulty and trial and trouble and struggle and pain that comes into our life. And there's things that just don't make any sense. And a lot of times we'll look at God and say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" He's saying, "You know, everything was going good. Everything's going great. You're heading in this direction. But I just wanted you to look from a different perspective." And all of a sudden, God opens up a door that I never, or you never, may never have seen. Brother, physical difficulty. You talked about a little bit for the parenting time. Boy, it is really an eye-opener. Yesterday, you're able to see, Brother Lowe, and then all of a sudden you put your glasses on and you're going, "Man, that changes a lot. It changes everything." And all of a sudden, you look at it and go, "Wow, thank you, Lord. I never saw it from that direction." But here's what we do. We start to question. We start excuses. And all of these things, all they do is they become bondage. They become burdens. They become distractions. And we'll see that. In verse number 18, he looks down and he said, "I beseech thee." Now, that's a strong statement. "Show me thy glory." And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face." And again, referring to verse number 18, "in all his glory, pass and place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory pass by thee, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. We'll get to that in a second. But from that particular situation, the Lord led us to another ministry opportunity. I had somebody contact me, said there, you know, we're, this would be a great place to put a church. And I'm thinking, oh, I know that city. What a hornet's nest. And I could hear, and I could tell you this, and I could tell you this, and I could tell you this. And I knew the second that God wanted us to go there. And so actually I wrote everything down on a piece of paper. I showed it to the person. I was like, I just want to make sure. I'm probably the most misunderstood person in the world, so I'm going to document this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what we're talking about. This is great. I went home to my wife. She goes, so what was that about? And as soon as I looked at her, she knew. And she said, please tell me that we're not going there. And I said, yeah, Lord, direct us to go there. We did not want to. We went out to this area, and just a great opportunity. Was able to take Joseph and Jonathan, our older boys, working 14, 15-hour days, building a building, which is medicinal to me. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. We had a kitchen with a cutout window that, oh, you could lock the door and no kids could go in there. Only the people assigned to the kitchen get to go in. I mean, so many things because we got to design it that we built in things that would solve so many problems. After a certain point, we're running enough people to now where they can take care of the rent payment, they can take care of this, they can take, and almost put a little gas in the church van. Like, this is great. Lord, I didn't want to come here. I'm sorry. Lord, I didn't want to do this, but you're, we'll do it. I do that. All of a sudden, there's this little church started. I get a note from the immigration office. You can no longer be the single pastor of Korean people. First thing, and I'm just being honest with you, I looked and said, Lord, we never wanted to come here anyway. We never wanted to come here anyway. But then we come here and we serve and we work and we labor and this church is being built up. It gets to the point now to where, you know, actually it's not all everything out of our pocket and things are going great. And now, Lord, you say, I mean, I can't do it. So I go down, I take care of all the paperwork, take my name off everything. I said, all right, Lord, this church doesn't have a pastor. And then he reminded me that years before I taught in a local church Bible college and there was a man that I thought was nearby. So I got his phone number, Korean man, called him up, said, hey, where are you at? He goes, other side of the same city that you're at. I thought, I never thought that, never thought that. So I said, hey, here's the story. I cannot be the pastor of this church anymore. We've worked it, we've labored, we're to a point now. Hey, what do you think about merging these two churches together, just making one kind of right in the middle? He came and looked at the church building, long story. He's like, wow, this is nice. I said, but, you know, don't take it because it's got a nice church building. We turned the church over. It was seamless as could be. It was just exactly how it's supposed to happen. We just praise God, but I never thought that. I didn't want to go to that place. Then I was okay with it, finally okay with it. God takes it away from me. The Lord, these people. One thing we had to learn is they're not my people. They're God's people. And he got me to look in a different way. It was not easy. It was difficult. I'm like, my heart's this way. I don't want to. Then it's okay. And Lord, what are you doing? And then we have visa problems. And if you've never lived in a foreign country, you don't understand what I'm going to say. You can go, oh, yeah, I understand. You don't understand. The average country just doesn't want you there. Okay? It seems like that. Well, all the whole visa situation exploded. If you want to hear the whole story, I'll tell you. But we had to move out of the place where I had been for 8 years. I knew every road. We had almost successfully eaten in every restaurant and gone to every coffee shop. That was a goal. Maybe it's shallow, but this is where I was born again in this area. It's my spiritual, the word is Koyang. It's my spiritual hometown. And the Lord has us go about 25 minutes north of Seoul. Man, I'm country as dirt. I hate the city. We're right up there. It's only 900,000 people in this area. We get there, we try to find a place, we can't find a house, we look at 25 houses, we're going to drive to a house, and it rents or sells before we even get to it. Like, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. Lord opened up, and I'm just going to, the Lord has opened up unbelievable opportunities. If you were to ask me 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, hey, do you think you'd be going to restricted areas? Now, we're in South Korea. Everything's great. It's fine. We can pass out tracts, preach. We can go on the street if we want. Anything we want, we can do. I just can't be the single pastor of Korean people. The Lord allowed opportunity, and my health really, really went down at that time. I get to the church that is now going to sponsor us in, and there's a neurologist there. I didn't have that planned. I never even would have thought that. I never even thought, why don't I call around all the churches in Korea, see if there's a good, solid, fundamental Baptist Christian neurologist to help me out. Never thought of it. I get in there, and the other missionary's like, hey, you got to meet this guy. Man, he is about that tall, Korean guy, about this wide, semi-professional kickboxer's got more black belts than a Guess Jeans store and everything. He's that bamboo sword thing. He was our boys. He's like, oh, I'll teach your boys to swing a stick around. That guy, I mean, he's a body guy. He's got arms like this, tenderest guy in the world. He comes over, he says, don't worry about it. We'll take care of this. He bent over backwards to help my health issue. I mean, I could not be grateful enough. But in that, the Lord had opened up some doors. We had been working with reaching other Korean people less fortunate than the South Korean people. And we had been working it kind of in a logistical way, helping people get this and that. We had the opportunity to go. We had the opportunity to go up to a bordering country and be able to help people with different things. And please, I'm being really general. If you want any extra information, I'd love to talk to you. But we've seen people saved out of the most unbelievably terrible situations. You know, God got me to think in a different direction. We think this is terrible. I went to the restaurant and they served me cold potatoes. Give me the manager. Really, I mean, if you go to pay for something, I think that you should get the right product. But we, then for 3 weeks after that, I wouldn't go to that. Man, I wouldn't go to that. Man, come here, I want to tell you about it. And that becomes a burden. It becomes a distraction. It becomes bondage to us. We complain and we struggle with the most foolish things. And then God shows you somebody with incredible struggle. Like a father who's had a wife and 3 kids. On the trip from one restricted country to another restricted country, he loses 2 kids and has to use his wife and his daughter as payment to get across the border. Brother, I'd rather die than do that. But hey, our bad and their bad, totally different perspective. But one great part about that, and it doesn't matter what level your bad is, when you watch somebody like that accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there is a redemption, and you look at that redemption and say, I have that too. Why am I not doing that? You look at somebody that is, I mean, just unbelievable, and God pulls them up, and you look in their eyes, and you say, wow, wait, from a different perspective, I have that too. Man, it changes everything. You think, we are spoiled rotten. Amen. And we are spoiled rotten. The Bible says where the Spirit is, there's liberty. When you go to some countries, there is no liberty. You can taste it, you can feel it, you can cut it with a knife, however you want to picture it, but you can't understand it unless you've been there and you go, wow, when these people are saved, they understand the redemptive power of God. Why don't we? Why don't we? Because many times as we read in verse number 13, we read that, verse number 11, and we see him face to face. Moses spoke with him as he speaketh unto a friend. And this is great. We should speak to God regularly. We should read his word and we should bow before him. But there's a difference when we truly beseech God and say, show me thy glory. Now, if we could just picture this. The Lord has allowed us to go to 8 different Asian countries in the last couple of years. Nowhere on my radar. We've seen people saved. We've seen them baptized in a tank. We baptized them in a bucket. We baptized them in rivers that I don't know what was in there. It has been an unbelievably exciting opportunity. But you know, if I didn't have health problems, and if I didn't have visa problems, for one, I wouldn't have grown up. But two, I never would have seen these opportunities. And when you see these opportunities, and then you finally figure out all of this ability that I thought I had, all of this, you know, I'm getting pretty good at this, brother. I can do this missionary thing. All of that goes away, and you say, if I don't see the glory of God, really, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. But it's really exciting when we get to verse number 22. It shall come to pass, the glory shall pass. Actually, verse number 23. And I will take away mine hand. Now let's just picture this for a second. He takes Moses. The Moses that has seen a burning bush. The Moses that has seen water part. The Moses that has seen a staff turn to a snake and a tree branch cleanse polluted water. And he struck a rock and he spoke to a rock and struck a rock. Again, I mean, all of these things, Moses saw this. And he's saying, Lord, I need to see you for who you really are. Now, you wouldn't think you'd have to do that. And Moses gets stuck in a little cleft of the rock. And God puts his hand over him. And God walks by, verse number 23. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And I'm just going to conclude with a couple things that we can do. Now, just picture this with me, just to get an application here. Just wonder if we could walk up to God and see all of his glory. For one, you can't because you'd be dead. But let's just illustrate this with, if you've ever been in a store and you're walking to somebody, and you're walking to them, and you don't know if they're going to go left or right, what do? You dance. You know, you walk up and you're going, just go. Please go. Okay? You know, a lot of times in the Christian life, we just dance around with God. You know, and I think you said it very well. He becomes the boyfriend. He becomes the man upstairs. He becomes all of these different things. We think that because we just casually read, we pray a little bit, that we could walk up to God, see him face to face. But what happens? It is confusion. It is difficulty. It is struggle. But not only that, what if you go right and God goes right? You're going to hit God head on. You know, we do that too. We butt heads with God all the time. He gives us something in his word. We're like, oh yeah, I believe that. We walk out the door and we never practice it. But what if we go right and he goes left? Well, you know what? Same thing. We do that all the time. We avoid God. We run from God. But the illustration here, when I read this, I thought, wow, this is pretty great. God stuffs him in the back corner and says, you might think you can see me face to face. Because, you know, honestly, we try. But I'm going to walk by and you're going to see my back parts only. You know, one great illustration here is that if the only view that we ever got of God was his back parts, there's two things that we can assume by that. We can assume that we're following him. I know it sounds simple. But if I brought some of you, brought one of these young kids up here and we're walking around and we're moving around and I follow him and I only ever see his back parts, that is the illustration of simply following him. But another thing that really helped me to understand this is that if I'm following him and I only ever see his back parts, that means he has always been where I'm about to go. He has always been. It doesn't matter if he turns left. It doesn't matter if he turns right. It doesn't matter where he goes. Where he leads, I'll follow. Why? Because he has already been there. Man, I just love to sit here and tell you stories of redemption, of people getting saved, of people walking up and they sweep the ground so that the pastor can stand there. I'm like, oh, please don't do that. I mean, there's incredible respect after a person gets saved. We were in a village one time, 30 little kids came at 7:30 in the morning and said, we heard that we can hear a Bible story here. They never said a day in church. You know where they were? They sat. I'm like, it'd be hard to get 30 kids in America that sat their whole life in church. They came because they said, we heard that we could hear a Bible story here. That will change your vision. That'll change your perspective. If you want to hear more about the intricate details of our ministry, I would love to do that. But I just want to leave us with this thought. There's bondage, there's burdens, and there's difficulties around every corner. And if Satan can keep us in that with being critical, with being in debt, with having jealousy, with addictions, with anything. And you hear great preaching here. If Satan can keep us in bondage, if he can keep us burdened down, if he can keep us distracted, he's got us right where he wants us. You know why? Because our vision is off somewhere here. It's off somewhere there. But my heart's desire is that you would just look at this a little bit, maybe like I've looked at it, and say, Lord, I have to see your glory. I have to see who you really are. And that Revelation chapter 1 paints a beautiful picture. Lord, I want to see who you are. Because if I see who you are, it's going to change my vision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank